Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the SBC podcast. We have with us today Brian Ahern, Chief Influence Officer. I love that. At Influence People and Director of Learning with State Auto Insurance, also an author and among many other accomplishments. We will talk about applying the science of influence in everyday situations. And with that, hello and welcome, Brian.
Thank you for having me on, Rashid. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome, Brian. So can you tell us a little bit? I'm also like, before we go into the influence, can you tell us what CMCT certification is? Very special, especially like for someone, being familiar with Cialdini and all the principles. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what it means?
Sure. CMCT, the designation stands for Cialdini Method Certified Trainer. So Robert Cialdini is the most cited living social psychologist on the planet when it comes to the science of influence. And I had the good fortune of being one of only 20 people in the world who is currently certified by him to teach methodology.
Oh, I said congratulations, but I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. So, Brian, obviously like influence is a key skill, whether it's in leadership. We're always trying to influence sales, customer service, I mean, leading our families in all aspects of life. So how do we approach this? Where do we start? Where do people start getting better at the art of influence or at the skill of influence?
Okay, great question. And you're right, we're all influencing every day. And I like to say from womb to tomb, the moment a baby comes into the world, he or she cries. We're not always sure why. Are they hungry, tired? Do they want to be held? But they're trying to communicate to get a need met. They're trying to change our behavior. And through the rest of our lives, we will be interacting with people, wanting them to do something for us, usually meet some kind of need. How we communicate makes all the difference in the world between hearing yes and hearing no. And so the starting place for people who want to get really good at it is to understand what the scientific research says. There's more than seven decades. Mm-hmm. But what does it say about how we interact with people that will make it easier for them to say yes to us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So can we unpack that a little bit and then maybe a few ways and a few tips and then maybe even some of the, I won't get ahead of myself, but maybe I'll circle back to that because I know for everything, for everyone's skill, there is always one quick way that people mess it up. So eventually I would like to kind of get into that as well. But let's start by talking about maybe some ways that people, some do's when it comes to that.
Okay. Well, as I said before, everybody's influencing, trying to be efficient at influencing every single day. Unfortunately, most people don't know what the science says, and so they lean on either their own experience, which can be hit or miss, or maybe they look to somebody else. And there are certain things that people, particularly celebrities and other notable people, they may say or do that actually doesn't work very well, but only because of their status, they still get what they want. What that says to me is that if you or I try to do that, we're probably not going to get the same result. So if you think about this, like if you wanted to get in shape, you could just sign up and go to a gym and start lifting weights, or you might step back and say, maybe I should consult somebody who understands nutrition and find out what the research says about healthy eating. Maybe I should go to a trainer who really understands the body and physiology who can help me work out efficiently. And if I take those approaches, a scientific approach, I will probably get in good shape much faster than I would by trial and error. And so what I like to do is to bring that research to people so it doesn't have to be trial and error. They can fall back on what that research has to say and feel confident that they're going to have more people saying yes to them more often.
Yeah. And I definitely agree. I mean, if you want to go somewhere, ask people who have already gone there. So if you know that I've done the work. And I know also like one of the things that people usually like confuse with influence is manipulation. Can you talk a little bit about that? And also, there's a lot of noise. I totally agree with what you said. There's a lot of noise out there, and it's difficult to discern what really are the good skills that work, that are universal. And then, like you said, the case of celebrities and a lot of the social media influence, there's a lot of confusion around this topic. Can you help a little bit with that?
Well, when it comes to the manipulation, that's a great question. It's always a good place to start because some people will have a misconception that, oh, these guys are there just talking about manipulation. And I think there's a very big difference between ethical influence and manipulation. When we talk about that difference, there are three criteria that need to be fulfilled if you're going to be an ethical influencer. The first thing is you have to tell the truth. And it's not just good enough to tell the truth. You don't hide the truth either. You know, it's not enough for me, Rushdie, to hold something back that I know might change your decision, but I'm not going to put it on the table. And then if you make a decision and sometime later come back to me and say, hey, Brian, why didn't you tell me? Well, if I say you didn't ask, that's not going to be defensible.
It's lying by omission.
Guy, right? So we tell the truth and we don't hide the truth. The second thing that we focus on is we only use psychology that is natural to the situation. An example that most people can relate to is scarcity. We all respond to one degree or another that we want something more when we think it will be less available. And so a lot of people have figured this out and use false scarcity. Rushdie, you may have had somebody knock on your door and try to sell you roofing, siding, gutters, or something like that, and give you this hard sell approach that says, if you sign today, you can save 15%. But if I have to come back another day, I can't give you this deal.
Right.
And there's nothing that's truly scarce, right? Any salesman who you pick up the phone and call and say, hey, I'm ready to buy, they're going to run to your house.
Right.
So it's not a, there's really not scarcity available in that situation. Now, it might be truthful if he said, hey, Rushdie, you know, you live in Tampa, and so you're aware that there's a hurricane's coming down. And if the hurricane hits, building supplies could be in short order, and I might not be able to offer you this price after today. That would be truthful, and that might help you to make a better decision. You might want to lock that in with that uncertainty. The third thing that we talk about, too, is whatever you're offering or asking of somebody cannot be just good for you. It has to be good for them, too. And I like to put it this way. Good for you, good for me, then we're good to go. So if I know that I'm being truthful with you, that I'm only using psychology that is natural to the situation I find myself in, and what I'm asking is also good for you, I can feel comfortable that I am an ethical influencer. I'm not trying to take advantage of you in any way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is awesome. I like win-win situations. And obviously, like, you know, when you do things like that, you sleep better and you know nothing's going to come back to haunt you. And it's actually results that last and relationships that last as well. Are there any other mistakes that come to mind, Brian, when it comes to this? We've talked about, obviously, the manipulation, and there's plenty of that when it comes, as you mentioned, great examples when it comes to sales and marketing and all of this, whether online, in person, over the phone, and it's borderline scams. But are there any other ways that, like, maybe in conversations where people maybe are trying to influence their employees or they're even trying to influence their kids, what are maybe some things that maybe are meant to do well, but they end up maybe just doing more damage?
One example comes to mind when you mentioned children. My daughter turned 25 last month, but when she was 14, turning into this young woman, you know, 2-hour showers, thinking about boys, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. The last thing she wanted to do on a hot summer day was go out and cut the grass to help dear old dad. But I traveled a lot when I worked for the insurance company, and so occasionally I needed help. But I knew this. I knew that if I entered a negotiation by offering a reward, if I would have said, Abigail, I'll give you a raise in your allowance if you will cut the grass when I want you to, she either would have said, no thanks, Dad, I don't like money that much. Or she might have said how much and tried to negotiate me up. And I wasn't asking her to do it every week. The worst thing I could have done then would have been like, fine, now you're going to do it for free because I'm your dad and I said so. And that would not have given me the relationship that I wanted to have with her. So I thought about what I understood about psychology. And what I did was I engaged reciprocity, that natural feeling that we have to give back to people who first give to us. So my approach to it was, we were in the car one day and I said, Abigail, I'm going to give you a raise in your allowance, $10 a week. And she legitimately was showing responsibility and I felt like she had earned that. But I also understood that when I gave first, it would be easier to ask for a favor when I needed one. Mm-hmm. So I gave her that raise. She was happy. A few weeks later, I'm getting ready to travel. And I said, Abigail, would you cut the grass for me because I'm going to go out of town this week? And I could see her face, this disappointment. She was about ready to give me the, please don't make me do this. And I just said, hey, time out. I said, I just gave you a raise in your allowance. Can't you help me out? And she thinks for a moment, and then she goes, okay. And she didn't like doing it, but she never resisted after that because she understood Dad does nice things for me. I should do things in return. And if I want him to keep doing nice things, I should probably reciprocate. And when we play by this rule, everybody's better off. She was earning more in her allowance. She didn't have to do this every week. I had the help that I needed, and we had a good relationship. Mm-hmm. That's something that most people wouldn't have thought to do. They would have either, again, done the reward or strong-armed their kid, and mm-hmm. that just breeds resentment.
Yeah. It's the carrot or the stick, right? And it's really easy to fall into that, especially if you're in a position of authority, because, I mean, a lot of the times it's the easiest thing. Just do it because I said so, whether it's an employer or, like, you know, or kids or so. So it obviously takes training. We oftentimes need to be reminded, you know, of these things. Even though we may know them at some times, it's like, right. If they're not practiced and if there isn't. And speaking of that, and I know one of the things you do is you help people with that. Can you give us a little bit of an idea about, like, how you work through your talks and your organization, like, to help people kind of get better at that?
Sure. I'm a firm believer that much of your professional success and personal happiness depends on your ability to get people to say yes to you. I mean, for those who are listening to this podcast, if you are gainfully employed, that's because somebody said yes to you as the right candidate. If you're a salesperson, right, that prospect will not become a client until they say yes to your proposal. And you can go on the line all the way up to CEO. You know, if you're running an organization and you're listening to this podcast, I don't care how good your mission, vision, value, and strategies are, if you can't get people to say yes and execute, right? So it's critical. So what I do is I work with organizations to find people who are in key positions where getting yes is a big lever for the organization. A lot of times it's leaders, a lot of times it's salespeople, and then teaching them what this psychology is and showing them how to apply it in the things that they're doing so that they can get to those better results much sooner.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, Brian. And then before I get to ask you to share how people can you know, stay in touch with you and get a hold of you, is there something that you wanted to share with the audience that hasn't come up in this brief conversation?
Well, I'll share with you another. I'll give two nuggets where people do things wrong and have an opportunity to right the ship. The first is the principle of liking. Now, I'm sure everybody who's listening to this realizes it's easier for people to say yes to us if they know us and they like us. And so what people try to do too often is they try hard to get the other person to like them. And sometimes they come across kind of desperate in doing so. But the reality is they should be focusing on coming to like the other person. Because, for example, Rashid, if you see and sense that I really like you, that's what opens you up to whatever I might offer. Because deep down you're thinking, you know, if he likes me, friends do right by friends. He's not going to take advantage of me. I should listen to what he has to say. I always tell salespeople in particular, somebody liking you won't necessarily close the deal or get you the sale. But if they don't like you, it's a guarantee you won't get the sale. Right. So you have to engage this principle. And the best way is do what you can to come to like that person. The second nugget I'll give people, it's a very common mistake too, is they tell people what to do rather than asking. If I tell you what to do, it doesn't trigger anything within you that if you don't do that, that you're feeling bad about yourself. But if I ask you and you tell me that you'll do something, all of us feel better about ourselves when our words and deeds line up. And we call that the principle of consistency. So instead of telling somebody what to do, ask. So when they give that verbal response, you know the odds of them actually doing that thing go up dramatically. And if you're a leader and you're thinking about, you know, your next meeting, think about how many times you're telling people around the table what they need to do rather than asking them and getting that public commitment so that they drive their own behavior.
Yeah. Amen to that. You get the buy-in that way as well. As opposed to, like, they share in that decision making and that responsibility as well. So I totally agree. Brian, how can people stay in touch or get a hold of you?
Well, the best way is through LinkedIn. And I accept everybody. I do a lot of work with LinkedIn Learning. And so I get people reaching out all the time. But here's a guarantee for your listeners. If you don't put a message in to say, hey, I heard you on the podcast, you can expect that you will get a response from me saying, hey, thanks for reaching out to connect. How did you find me? I think that, one, I like to understand why people are reaching out. Two, it brings social media back to being truly social. It's not just click and accept, click and accept. And it's a chance for us to have a little bit of engagement. So people know, hey, I'm connected now to a real person. He actually answers his messages. So put a message in. I'll still say something back. But if you don't expect it, I will ask you how you found me.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And I'm going, obviously, we're going to share your links in the show notes once this is published. So with that, it has been a pleasure to have you on the podcast, Brian. And listeners, this concludes this week's episode, and be on the lookout for future ones. And we'll publish this one on SBCheck's blog, so you can find it there. And then, or also you can find it on your favorite channel to listen to podcasts. Thank you.
Thank you.